At 69 weeks, the Messiah would come and accomplish his work, being cut off in the midst of the 70th week. Remember, however, that 70, not 69 and a half weeks, are determined upon the Jews in Jerusalem. What is determined? The destruction of the city and sanctuary, the end, desolation is determined, the consummation. It is certainly implied from the context that the destruction of Jerusalem is predicted within the 70-week period. Using the number 490 to symbolize God's complete and final work among the Jewish people and commonwealth, the prophecy makes sense. If the destruction of Jerusalem is included in the 70 weeks, which I believe it is, this must be the correct interpretation, for it destroys any chronological view completely. So the prophecy begins with Jerusalem and the temple in ruins, and that's where it leaves.
I've struggled with that too, trying to make a lot of these prophecies fit when numbers are involved. You know, when you try to read Revelation, and all you've got to be W. Johnson and John T. Hines, that's just sort of pounded into you that everything's a day for a year. But I'm wondering on this symbolic nature. And I think you're right on it, that these numbers meant something to those folks in those days. The 3.5 times that has been mentioned as being 1,260 days or 1,260 years, the problem that I have with trying to make that a literal 1,260 years is that it was said concerning Nebuchadnezzar that he would go crazy for 7 times. And if 3.5 times is 1,260 years, would that mean that he was to go crazy for 2,500 years or something? But when you make it symbolic, you know, it means something. That's God is in control of the matter, and God is doing that, and he's getting his will in completely. But when it's 3.5, it's not complete. The persecution that would come upon the people 3.5 times would not be complete. That's just a comment on that. Now, I want to ask something about the command to restore and build Jerusalem. The 2 or 3 different commands that you mentioned, one with Cyrus. Edward Young takes a position that it's Cyrus in his commentary. He makes a point on it that I think is real interesting. He points out in verse 25 that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, we oftentimes try to find the person that's making the command, whether it be Cyrus or the other king that you mentioned. But his point is that it's God's giving the command and not some man. God gave the command to a man. He bases that on verse 23. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. God gave the command to the angel to go tell those things. The very same word in Hebrews used down in verse 25 where the commandment went forth. That the commandment is from God rather than necessarily being from Cyrus, although it would be Cyrus' declaration. What do you think of his interpretation on that being from God rather than just from man?
Well, I think it's a good interpretation because I think that's what the Bible says in Ezra 6:14. The elders of the Jews built it, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built it and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. The interesting thing about this verse is that every one of these decrees is mentioned in the same verse, but the key to it, the first, is that it was decreed of God. I don't think there's any doubt. That's why they were taken captive in the first place, because God decreed it. That's why they were released at a period of time, because God decreed it. That's why Jerusalem would be rebuilt, is because God decreed it. And so I think that's entirely correct. I might mention some things to what you said to begin with on the symbolic nature of numbers. When I began to study this, I took the view that Ezra's commission was the one here because the chronology worked with the Messiah. But really, to be fair about this, the best way to try to determine what decree is talked about is not to look at this thing years later count back how many years from Christ and see if one happens to fit. When Daniel received this vision, he couldn't do that. These Jews couldn't do that. And Daniel received this vision, and evidently within a year's time, he received the decree. The Jews received a decree to go home, and 50,000 of them went home. Now, what do you think Daniel thought? When he received the vision, Just a while later, he was given a decree to go home. I would imagine he would assume that fulfilled the vision. And furthermore, if you're going to take a chronological approach to this, take all of it. Let's not just take the Messiah here. None of these work to the Messiah except this one. But if you take the 49 years for the building of the temple, you've got 408, and there's nothing, no proof biblically or historically or anything else that that was the year that the Jewish Commonwealth was completely restored. The only thing biblically we have is that the walls of the temple were finished in 444. Then you take the chronology of seven more years, and that puts you at 33 AD, and if the destruction of Jerusalem is in the prophecy, included in the 70 weeks, which I believe it is, that can't be right. And so, because the chronology does not work, or didn't work, as far as my studies, I had to take another view. Because if we're going to make it chronological, we've got to do it throughout the prophecy, and not just take one section of it.
I appreciate very much your study, Terry. It's very good, and it has enlightened me a great deal. I'd like to make just two or three comments, if I might. I think you did very well in pointing out the fact that number can be and often is spiritually significant. That's a concept that probably in our American culture doesn't come across as strongly as it does to perhaps other people in other cultures. But number was very, very meaningful and very, very important. And this is one of the things that I think that we need to get across to people when we're studying with them about the Lord's Supper is that it's spiritually significant to use, for example, one cup, one loaf. And I know that's getting off on a tangent, but I just wanted to point that out. When you enumerated the list of the things that are spoken of in terms of seven in the book of Revelation, there's only one item I would disagree with, and that's the seven mountains. Rome is built on seven literal mountains. We would call them hills, but those are very, very real hills. And it is a very well-known fact that Rome is built upon those seven hills. I do not in any sense take that in a symbolic fashion. I believe that's very literal. You know, one thing that you just mentioned when you were discussing the matter just before I got up is that we need to look at things from a contextual point of view. In other words, look at it from the eyes of the person who heard it. I know this is completely in a different realm and in a different area, but I'd like to throw this out just for the consideration of everyone that's here. I believe that part of the problem we have sometimes is doing exactly what you said. From our viewpoint, we're counting backwards. We're looking at it from an entirely different viewpoint rather than the viewpoint of the man to whom it was spoken. And I believe that in Peter's great sermon in Acts, the second chapter, we need to listen to that sermon from the viewpoint of the hearer, put ourselves in their frame of mind, with their understanding of things, with what they had just seen, with what they had just heard, and then let's try to interpret Acts 2:38 with respect to the term holy gift of the Holy Spirit, and I think that might help us a great deal.
Anybody else?
Yes, Jennifer.
I have my hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. Go ahead.
Well, say what I have to say. I'd have to have you 45 minutes. I will say that I'm a believer in chronological historical view.
Did you say you do?
Chronological historical view.
Did you say you do or don't?
I do believe in it. And I studied a lot about it lately, and I haven't heard anything today that really convinces me otherwise. But on those dates at 457, that's a solar count. If you look at the 444, that's a lunar count. And if you'll notice in the lunar year, which the Hebrew people went by, if you figure that in lunar year, it'll come out the same way, according to A.M. Morse. I haven't used my calculator on it. He uses all four counts. And there is the lunar day, the solar day. He says you can take either count, take it from the last two, count four of the favorable commands to build, and he takes the last two. He does also consider the others. But those last four, or the last two of the four, the 457, the 444, the 457 is a solar count, and 444 is a shorter.
Which command do you take?
Well, it doesn't matter. It says you can take either one and come out at the same place. But I want to ask the question, when was Jesus, when was the Messiah anointed? That's what I want to know. If you can determine when the Messiah was anointed, then you can just back it off from there. And the Bible determines that for us. So there's not any real difficulty in understanding, because we can look back on it. Now those people that have figured out from us, we don't even have to do that. We can just take when he was anointed. We've been given that much information to us. Now Acts the 10th chapter, verse 37, 38 tells us when he's anointed. And that ends it once and for all. And the rest of it, you can figure either way from it. You can figure forward 3.5 years and get when he was crucified. And then figure that 3.5 more to the end of the week, and you can make it to the time of the Gentiles. But I do differ with you in that I believe the destruction of Jerusalem, that second print, there's no time period given on that. That would occur after that, not connected with it. I just think, as a matter of fact, the way mine reads, it separates it. But you seem to attach it. It doesn't really make me any difference. The relevance of this prophecy and the beauty of it is the Messiah.
Right.
And if we can determine, and we can by the Bible very easily, Acts 10, 37, 38, when he was anointed and given the power at the baptism of John, says it. Then everything else, we can figure frontwards and backwards from it. And if those people, given to those people, they couldn't figure it out, and evidently they did it too well, but that was their problem. We have a lot more information at hand because it's already been fulfilled. And so we figure from Acts 10, verse
38. I'd like to make a couple of remarks about what you said. First of all, when you say this doesn't differ, it has to differ, I believe, because the Bible states that one of these occurred in the 7th year of Artaxerxes, and the other one occurred in the 20th year. Now, from the commission given, and regardless of how you, whether you figure solar or lunar years, there's 13 years difference. The Bible says in the command, in the year of this man's reign, one was given at one time, another one was given 13 years later. And it's impossible, chronologically speaking, for these to be the same. So I feel like you have to pick one or the other. And second of all, when you do that, you ignore, really, when you look at the historical point of view, you look at the prophetic point of view, there's not one prophecy that refers to Ezra or Nehemiah's commission. There is that which refers to this one. As I said, the context, this was given within a year after he read it. The 50,000 returned here, 1,800 here, and Nehemiah went there by himself. Let me finish. And then, when you take this thing chronologically through, which really there's no choice. If you're going to take it chronologically, here's one problem. You've got 49 years for the building of the temple and the city, and yet where's the evidence that this is when that happened? And second of all, if you say that the destruction of Jerusalem, the time is not mentioned in here, let's look at the prophecy. It starts off, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and city. Okay, who's it determined on? Okay, the people in the city. What's determined? Desolations, the consummation, the end. That's what's determined. Now, where do you read about all of those statements? Every place you read anything like that in this prophecy has to do with the destruction of Jerusalem. The question is, if the prophecy is about, if the 70 weeks refer to the God's final and complete dealing with the Jews, which regardless of whether we take it chronologically or figuratively, we agree with that. If that's what the prophecy is about, why wouldn't the destruction of Jerusalem be involved in that? Why is it mentioned?
What you can do, and I've given lots of lessons on it before, but it's been a long time. I haven't got a chart on it. So I'm not as clear on it as you are. But the point is, that's kind of, that at first is sort of mixed up together. But if you look on towards the end, it's separated out. and destruction of Jerusalem happens afterwards. The way all it is sort of, it's not very clear, and then he can sort of explain it. But destruction of Jerusalem comes after the 70 weeks. Now, I'm still not clear. Do you take the position that he was anointed when he was baptized? And that is the fulfillment of this prophecy.
Yes.
Well, then,
what you're doing by that is assuming the chronological view is correct. See? Oh, and then you're backing up.
There's one more thing, and I don't want to argue with you or anything like that, but, you know, it's just points of view. Just like Doug said, he studied three different scholars, and every last one of them disagreed. So a lot of us are influenced by whom we study at. And you're influenced by somebody. I'm almost sure of that. So that's just what we're studying. So, but it's just what looks best. And to me, it's a beautiful picture the way I look at it, and it's beautiful the way you look at it. That's fine. I don't really have any problems with it. But that, you know, as long as we agree that he's anointed at the same time.
Yeah, we agree with that.
But the 49 years brings you up to the end of the Old Testament period. That's what it really does. And if you'll take Malachi and those fellows, those people were still having problems, although the temple was rebuilt. We don't really know what was going on back there. All we have is what little bits of information we can pick up. The complete completion of it, I believe the Old Testament ended with the completion of that temple and its thoroughness. There's a lot more involved there, and we could know. What I'm saying is you may be making a lot out of something that doesn't make that much sense.
See, the temple was finished in 516.
Well, it's the temple itself. Ezra started building that 18 years before, and something stopped him, and then it was completed. I don't worry. To me, that's not as significant because it deals with the end of the Old Testament period.
I can't see the board, and can't recall what you said. Do all of those different literal interpretations include the destruction of Jerusalem, or do they end before the destruction of Jerusalem?
Everyone ends. This one ends at 48 B.C., 33 A.D., and 46 A.D.
And you feel like the destruction of Jerusalem is included in the 409 years?
I don't think 490 years are involved. I believe it's included in the end of the prophecy. Yes.
Just regarding when to start the counting of prophecy at 538 or whenever, aside from the prophecy that you mentioned in Isaiah 44 and verse 28, it says, mention Cyrus by name, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Mentions him by name. Personally, myself, until what you said earlier was going to set me back to thinking again on it, I favored the chronological view. And one of the reasons that I favored that was just the fact that I looked at it historically and said, how do we today know that that was 538 B.C.? How do we know for sure any of those years? If you look in history, really, historians are making their best guess as far as what year it is. So how do you know?
That's true. And one thing I want to mention, Jack made an allusion to this, but I think it's really important. He mentioned how the Jews evidently didn't count very well or didn't understand the prophecy or something like a lot of times we don't, and that's true. But if the Jews would have understood this chronologically, they could have started from these commands and counted 490 years and been ready for the Christ. And obviously they weren't. So whether it was their hard-heartedness and a lot of other things, or whether there was even a 490-year view even involved here, that's the question. Richard?
Kerry, I appreciate very much your views, and I think a lot of your influence, Jack, Edward Young is the one that shows all the difficulties of these views and points out pretty much what you've stated here. But in response to what Jack said, the Jewish people recognized that a lunar year didn't equal a solar year, and so they would put another month in about every 3 years. And so when we're talking about if it'd be 490 years, they came out the same place that we would if we was counting solar years. Their calendar today, if you look at their holidays, the Passover always comes around what we think of as Easter, and Hanukkah always comes around this time of year. It always has, because they figured out how to work a lunar calendar into the system.
Well, I didn't comment on that because I don't know what to do about it.
Okay, Gillis?
Excuse me, Eric. I guess I'm the one that's lost now. I thought you were saying all along that you 490 years were involved, and now here the last thing I thought I heard you say it wasn't.
What I try to do is present the most popular views and give the reasons for them and the reasons against them. And then in conclusion, I told you which view I took. I guess I should have just told you all the views and reasons for and against them and never committed.
490 years is not involved. Why the 70 weeks and determined from the year that the command was sent out?
Well, like I said, I believe the seven and multiples of sevens refer to God's complete work. And I tried to look at it from all sides, every angle.